Acts chapter 2. We have taught on tongues before and what's wrong with the Pentecostal movement. Tonight, I'm going to give you more because we're in that mode on false teaching and cults. When I was in Dominican Republic, Brother Sidler said, it's so strong here. I did a Bible study there. I gave you part of it. Tonight, I'm going to teach on something that's very helpful, but I'm not sure anybody in here has hit tongues from this angle. We have touched on this, but we're going to do a Bible study tonight that's going to take you on quite a journey. Now, why do we do this? I know I have a Pentecostal background. Half of my family, not all, half of my family's Pentecostal. My great uncle was the front man for Jimmy Swaggart, his crusades that he would do back in the 70s and 80s. When I got saved, I had a lot of questions, and there are people, we've talked about this stuff, but the angle, I'm going to hit it with you tonight. That's why I gave you the note sheet. We're going to hit all of them, and we're going to get into an area that I think is very helpful. Acts chapter 2, notice this in verse 1, it says here, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, stop, Pentecost. That should take you, if you don't have a center column reference Bible, you should have Leviticus 23 written right by that. That's a feast day. That's one of the six feast days in the Old Testament that was prophetic. This feast is being fulfilled. There's three that have been fulfilled. There's three more that have yet to be fulfilled. Leviticus 23, day of Pentecost. When it was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared on them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, if somebody wants to know, we speak in tongues because Acts chapter 2, I always ask the question, when you spoke in tongues, was there a sound of a rushing mighty wind? Because that's what verse 2 says. Question number 3 is, when you spoke in tongues, because we do it because they do it in Acts chapter 2, that's what they always say, were there like cloves of fire sitting on everybody's heads? Because if you're looking for a Bible experience, that's what it says. And the answer is no every time. You understand? But no, we do it because Acts chapter, well, do you do everything in Acts chapter 2? Everybody, Acts is a transition book. It's a transition book where we're transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And there are some things that take place in the book of Acts that don't take place anymore. We don't want to do everything that they did in the book of Acts. Well, no, we want New Testament Christianity. And that's what you hear all the time. They raised the dead in the book of Acts. We don't do that. Well, if we had enough faith, we could. Wrong-o. I don't want to raise the dead. Amen? I don't want. There's things that take place in the book of Acts that don't take place anymore. Then watch this. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, notice verse number 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? I wish you'd mark verse 8. Verse 8 is very important for you to understand what's going on. Verse 8 says, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And the next two verses speak of over 13 nations. Jews from 13 nations are there, and verse 8 says, when Peter stood up to preach, the Elamite could hear him in his language, and the Parthian could hear him in Parthenian, and the Mede could hear him in Mede, but he was preaching in Hebrew or Greek. Verse 8 says what was going on. It's a supernatural ability that when Peter wasn't saying, okay, I need to speak in the You're from Elam. I need to speak in Elamite, and I need to speak in Parthenian. And he wasn't doing that. It'd be like me preaching in English, and then there being Spanish people and Filipino people and Russian people in here. And while I'm speaking in English, they're hearing me in their own tongue. That's what verse 8 says. That's what was taking place on the day of Pentecost. Peter was not doing what the modern day tongues movement says. I mean, okay, they teach people to speak in tongues in these Pentecostal churches, and they'll say, this is what they say, Just let it come out of you, let it come out of you. And then they teach the repeating of the same vowel over and over again. They'll say, yatati, 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 faster, yatati, 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 you know, however it is, it's the same vowel over and over again. That's not language. That's ecstatic utterance. That is foolishness. That is not what was taking place on Acts chapter 2. Everybody see that? So that's the first time we read, are Jews present here in Acts chapter 2? We saw that, right? Did you see the word Jews? Now take your Bible. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and look at verse 43. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43. So in Acts chapter 2, think with me here just for a second. Are there Jews present? Yes or no? Did people get saved? Yes or no? Yes, 3,000 people got saved in Acts 2, right? In Acts chapter 10, watch what happens. Look at verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So he's preaching the gospel. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Peter assent to a religious, Judaistic, Gentile, Cornelius, to get him saved. Here we go, in Acts chapter 10. This is the second time in the book of Acts where tongues are mentioned. There's three. We'll look at one more. In Acts chapter 10, are Jews present? Yes or no? Did somebody get saved? Yes. Same thing's true in Acts chapter 2. Now let's look at the last time. Go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. The tongues is only mentioned... The gift of the Holy Ghost of speaking in tongues is only mentioned three times in the book of Acts. This is the last one. I'm going to read quickly Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, so everybody understanding, this doesn't happen anymore. They come upon John's disciples that were baptized unto John's baptism before Jesus died on the cross. That's what they're saying. The Holy Spirit indwelled believers after Jesus rose from the dead. They're saying they were baptized on, it was different. This doesn't exist anymore. But when they're baptized, it says here, verse number 6, verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Here we go. Third time that tongues is mentioned in the book of Acts. Now, this is in your notes. Hopefully, you know, you don't have to write a whole lot down. But in Acts chapter 2, are Jews present? Did somebody get saved? 3,000 people did. In Acts chapter 10, are Jews present? Did somebody get saved? Yes. In Acts chapter 19, are Jews present? Yes. Did somebody get saved? Yes. When anybody says we spoke in tongues in our church, I always ask this question. Every time they spoke in tongues in the Bible, somebody got saved. Anybody get saved in your service? Oh, no, but we had a great time. I'm sure you did. But what you did is not what took place in the Bible. Were there any Jews present when you were speaking in tongues? Because in the Bible, every time they spoke in tongues, Jews were present. Well, no. Then what you're doing isn't what the Bible describes. In the book of Acts, this is in your notes, but just watch. 10 times in the book of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Out of 10 times, only 3 did they speak in tongues in the book of Acts. That tells me, would you like to see the next time they're filled with the Holy Spirit? After Acts 2, go to Acts 4, and we'll just look at 2 verses here real quick. Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 8 says this, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And then he starts preaching the gospel. So he starts preaching. Look at verse number 31. And when they had, Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That tells me this. When they're saying, when we're being told by the Pentecostal crowd, well, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak in tongues. My Bible says, when you do speak in tongues, Jews are present, people get saved, and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak the word of God with boldness. Amen? That's in there more than them speaking in tongues. That's an overview. Now, with that in mind, go to Mark 16. You have to just, we're just going to touch on this, and then I'm going to launch into this. Look, we give this to you because there is so much confusion. The Four Square Gospel, Businessmen's Association, done in the 1960s. The Pentecostals and Charismatics are very rich, very wealthy churches. They're imploding. There's not a whole lot to them now. But the Pentecostal churches, it's been an area of confusion for about 60 years. About 60 years, the movement has been, and it helps when you can have answers to give people. Look at Mark 16, ready? And these are the sign gifts. There's two words, signs, that I'd like you to mark in your Bible. Watch this. Mark chapter 16, and look at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, watch it carefully. And these, underline the word, signs, shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There's one more time the word signs is used, which is why we call this little section here the sign gifts. Keep on reading in verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Why did God give the apostles the ability, signs, to speak in tongues, to be able to handle serpents and be bit by them and not die? Didn't Paul get a serpent that latched onto his hand and he shook it off in the fire and he didn't die? How come God gave them the ability to drink poison? We don't have any record of that in the Bible, and it not hurt them. Because God was penning the word, his word through them, right? If you were an apostle and you were preaching to Jews and you just said, hey, I'm writing a new book for your Bible, they wouldn't have accepted it without some miracles. It's like, oh yeah, show that you're really from God. So God used the miracles of the apostles to confirm his word so that the Jews would believe. They didn't. They rejected him. But God confirmed his word with those miracles. A couple of thoughts. How come the tongue speakers in the Pentecostal movement never talk to you about the other signs that are in that chapter? All you hear is tongues, tongues, tongues. You got to speak in tongues. You got to speak in tongues. The first one is they shall cast out devils. They'll take up serpents. Don't notice the last one. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you realize all through the book of Acts, everybody that they prayed for got healed? That doesn't happen nowadays. There's not one record in any hospital in America of anyone being healed of what we would call a physically I'm talking like a cripple or a blind. There is cancer that's healed. I've seen cancer healed, but it's not something that, you know, you don't grow a limb, you know, in place of it. Or there's not one record of anybody receiving their sight. In the book of Acts, everybody got healed. Where Jesus went, he healed them all. That doesn't take place nowadays. These are sign gifts. And if you need one more reference to write next to it, I put it in your notes, but it's Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. Don't go there. We need to go to 1 Corinthians 14 now. Hebrews chapter 2. You go to 1 Corinthians 14, and I'll read Hebrews 2 to you. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and with all diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. God confirmed his word with the miracles of the apostles. They had 27 books to pen. Paul had, by the end of the New Testament, nobody was doing those miracles. So those were set sign gifts to confirm the Bible. Now let's look at, I wanted to give you some real quick. There should be four sections marked in 1 Corinthians 14. So if somebody's asking you for help on tongues, you can just turn there. And these verses, you ought to have the numbers circled in the chapter, four sets, so you can explain to them and help them understand that what's going on in their church is not of God. You understand? This is, now, look at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. What's that mean? There's no such thing as a language that's... God would never have somebody speak in a language that's not spoken here on the earth. Everybody understand? In other words, the reason the Pentecostals will say, how come you're just saying the same vowel over and go, I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. When you ask them, they'll say, well, we're speaking a heavenly language. That's what they say. We're speaking the language of angels. God says that's not so. God would never lead you to communicate in a language that is not spoken here on the earth. Amen? Verse 10 should be marked. The next verse you want to mark is verse 21 and 22. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that, will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Look at verse 22, key verse. Wherefore, in other words, because of verse 21, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now, tongues is a sign for, here we go, if you write it in your Bible, that's fine, unbelieving, Christ-rejecting Jews. It's not a sign for those that believe, it's a sign for those that believe not. How does, now, if you've never been in a Pentecostal church, don't go. I was teaching some teenagers a long time ago, and a church in town was having a Pentecostal revival, you know, with joint pastors, Mrs. and, you know, Mr. So-and-so, and the next day in the Christian school, two of them, one of them was like, oh, we went there. Oh, and it is. If you've never been to a Pentecostal service where they're like slithering like snakes on the ground and barking like dogs, and one of the teenagers were terrified. I said, you went to that revival? And I said, man, you should ask me to go with you. All I'm telling you is what they do is they say, we speak in tongues to show you that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And verse 22 says, that's not how tongues is used. And then they'll tell you, because I've been in one of their churches, they'll say this, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you better speak in tongues to show me you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what they do. And you can turn to 1 Corinthians 14, 22 and says, that's not what tongues are for. Tongues are not for those that believe. Tongues are for those that believe not. Believe not who? Verse 21 is in reference to Isaiah 28:11. This people is the Jews. Unbelieving, Christ-rejecting Jews is who tongues are for. Verse 22 is a key verse in that chapter. Let's look at two more places in 1 Corinthians 14. Mark verse 27 and 28. 1 Corinthians 14, 27 and 28. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most, by three, and then if you underline the words, and that, by course. Underline the two words, by course. By course means one at a time, and let one interpret. But verse 28 says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. I've been in some of those Pentecostal meetings, and man, during the song service, people are singing in tongues, and it's going on all over the place. And then when the preaching starts, I remember being in a service, and you know, my grandmother stood up, and then another one did it. God says in the Bible, if what they're doing is of God, the most, and it's not, but if what they're doing is of God, two or three can do it in a church service, one at a time, not all at once. I've been in hollering meetings. I mean, there's like six, seven people. I mean, doing it all at once, and it's like, you can't even hear what's going on up there, and yes, the Spirit's moving in here tonight, and all that garbage. God says two, at the most, three, by course, and there ought to be an interpreter. I've never heard an interpreter in any of the Pentecostal meetings I've ever been in. Somebody'd stand up, and then they'd sit down, and Then this one over here, somebody else would stand up. Nobody would interpret. What does verse 28 say? If there be no interpreter, let him what? Silent. Let him remain silent. If there's no interpreter to tell everybody what that person just said, God says what just took place is satanic. God would never lead you to go against the Bible, right? So verse 27 and 28 is very key, and you ought to know how to help somebody with that. Say, I'm glad you had a good church meeting last night, but what took place wasn't of God. Because God wasn't going to lead you to break His word. Look at verse 33 and 34, and this is always a great way to wrap up a meeting. Look at verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Look at verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. I've taken that to Pentecostal. I say, okay, in your church meeting, did any women speak in tongues? They'll say, oh, yes. Most of the time, that's all that do it. God says they're not permitted to do that. That's against the Bible. And I've heard people say, I'll say, in case you miss verse 34, read verse 35. It says here, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That's not talking about, we got women Sunday school teachers. That's not talking about, you know, we'll have a mother-daughter banquet. It's not talking about when they cross the threshold, they're supposed to, you know, never say a word until they go, well, on second thought, no, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. It's not talking about that. It's talking about in a church service, a church by God's design is supposed to be run by men, always. It'll never be different. And it's shameful for a woman to speak in a public service saying, well, I think, you know, the Holy Spirit's leading us to do this. That's shameful. I have people skills, okay? But I would have all the authority in the world to say, woman, sit down and shut your mouth and go home and ask your husband questions. I got more people skill than that. I'm nicer than that. But does everybody see my authority? That's what the Bible says, isn't it? That's not what's taking place in the Pentecostal churches. What's taking place in the Pentecostal churches is shameful. You need to know 1 Corinthians 14 is God's requirements for tongues in a church. How does God want it run? And just so before we move on with this, what takes place in 1 Corinthians 14 and Acts chapter 2 are two different things. This is not the same thing as Acts chapter 2. This is people coming in church that know a foreign language. This is not, he's not talking about being spiritually empowered to speak and everybody understand what he's speaking in their language. That's Acts chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 14 is an unknown language. Two separate things. Don't mesh them. Ready? Let's cover this real quick. What we've learned tonight so far, if tongues were spoken of, you should be able to ask these questions. These are on your notes, so just listen to me. Don't mark anything. Were Jews present? Were any Jews saved? Was anybody saved? Was it a language that is spoken somewhere on planet Earth? Did more than three do it? And did they do it one at a time? And was there an interpreter? And did any woman speak in tongues? That's what we've learned so far. So you should have a filter to say, is what just took place of God because of what the Bible says? With that in mind, go to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. If I wanted to see a topic, sometimes you can, and it's a good way to study your Bible. I've talked to you about doing an overview. There's topical studies. There's looking up the first place that word is mentioned in the Bible. Where does God mention it? The law of first mentions what it's called. And that's a tool for you to use in studying your Bible. When it comes to tongues, just you're going to Genesis 9, but just listen to me. Where in your Bible does speaking in other languages happen for the first time? Tower of Babel. Because it says in Genesis 11:1, the whole earth was of one language. This idea of different languages, that comes from God, right? So this idea of many languages, it comes from Genesis 11, and you're going to see a pattern now. What we're going to do is we're going to look at four spots in your Bible. Here we go. God spoke. It was rejected. God sent tongues to tell them judgment was coming, and then God scattered them. You're going to see that pattern. God spoke. It was rejected. Tongues were given to show judgment's coming, and then they were scattered. You'll see that in the next four places. What's Genesis 9, verse 1 say? It says, here's the command. God speaks in Genesis 9 and says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's God's words, right? They just get off the ark, go replenish the earth. That's what God said. Did man obey? No. By about four generations, except for Shem's line, they all gather into Babel, and they all start building a tower to God without God. They're going to get to heaven now without God. The Tower of Babel is a sign of rebellion. Go to Genesis 11 and watch this, and look at verse 3. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So, there's the rebellion. God said, multiply, replenish the earth. They said, no, we're going to stay in one spot. Then, it says here, verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. We're going to move through this, but I told you before, if you'll read the first 12 chapters of Genesis, there's so much there that is referred to over and over again throughout your Bible. This is Genesis 11, right? Genesis 12 is Abraham. Here, you see the pattern. God commanded, they rejected it, God gave tongues to show judgment's coming, and dispersion happened. That's in your notes. Now let's look at the next time. That's Genesis. The flood, Tower of Babel. Now let's look at the next time this happens. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of your Bible. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. So God's message to the Jews is this. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. God says, you obey me, I bless you. Look down at verse 15, here's the turning point, Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Then, look at verse 49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, and the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Verse 59 needs to be marked in your Bible. God's pattern, we've seen it in Genesis, God restates it to the Jews. You better listen to me. If you refuse, I'll send you tongues you won't understand, and then I'll scatter you into captivity. Right? Is that what God promised in Deuteronomy 28? Everybody see that? Guess what? There's three times God sent tongues and scattered the Jews in the Bible. First time, God tells them, was the Assyrian tongues were heard by disobedient Israel in 712. Take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. God speaks his word clearly through the message of Isaiah to the north. That's the 10 tribes in Israel. They reject it. Now God says, good, you don't want to listen to my preacher? Then I'll let you hear it through the language of the Assyrians. The language of the Assyrians was, they only had three vowels. A, I, and U. You know, we have five vowels in our language. It was real. It was not as, quote unquote, as cultured as Hebrew. And God says, I'll let you hear a heathen language, and you'll go into captivity to them. Look at Isaiah 28, verse 1. Ready? It says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that overcome with wine. God says, I'm going to give you judgment. Look at verse 11. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Everybody see that? That's Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. So God says, you don't want to hear the plain message? Then I'll send you tongues because of your rebellion, and you won't understand what they're saying. And then I'll send you into captivity. The captivity is right there at the end of verse 13. Ready? But the word of the Lord was unto them that unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, they have that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. That word taken means captive. Everybody see that? Here's the pattern again. Ready? God speaks. They reject it. God sends tongues to say judgment's coming, and then he scatters them. We've seen that in Genesis. We've seen it in Deuteronomy. God showed us this in Isaiah with the northern tribes to Assyria. Let's look at it in Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. Does everybody understand the way a Jew thinks and the way Jew deals with God, because God's promised them this? Anytime a Jew hears tongues, they always say, judgment. Judgment's coming. Because that's how God's dealt with them through the Bible. And anytime they don't hear tongues, they know they're being blessed of God. Because if we went to Isaiah 33 tonight, we don't have time. But God promises them in the millennium, you won't hear things that you don't understand when I'm blessing you. Everybody see that? But when you hear tongues, when you hear languages that you can't interpret, and God says, you'll know I'm judging you. That's pretty consistent. You're there in Jeremiah chapter 3. Look at verse 21. This is God's message for the people. Jeremiah 3:21. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Here's the message. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Now, that's Jeremiah chapter 3, right? Everybody see the message? God's saying, come back. Now go to Jeremiah 5. Look at verse, Jeremiah chapter 5, and look at verse 3. The people refuse. You'll see that here two times in verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. So the word refused there. So God's message is in Jeremiah chapter 3. We just looked at it. Now the people are refusing. So guess what? In Jeremiah chapter 5, look at verse 15. Notice what God sends. Oh, lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. See that again? God's message is sent. It's refused. God just says, I'm going to send you tongues. I'm going to send you languages you're not going to understand. You're in Jeremiah chapter 5. Look at verse number 19. Now the dispersion is going to follow. Verse 19. And it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doth the Lord your God all these, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. There's the scattering and the captivity. We've looked at it in Genesis. We've seen it in Deuteronomy. We've seen it in Isaiah. We just looked at it in Jeremiah 3 and 5. Same thing. God sends the message. The people reject it. God says, okay, you don't want to listen? Then I'll send you tongues as a sign that judgment's coming, and then they're dispersed and scattered. We've seen that place after place, right? This happens again in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 4. Here's God's message to the people. What was God's message to the people in the New Testament? To the Jews. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was preaching that in Matthew 4. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That was the message. Jesus was saying that. The Jews refused to listen. Jesus, in Matthew 23, said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee, thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and ye would not. So they rejected the Savior's call. Then Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 38, behold, your house is left desolate. Judgment is pronounced. Then what they say on the day of crucifixion? we have no king but Caesar. His blood be on us and our children. They fully reject Jesus. Then Christ warned them, Matthew 24, Jesus said unto them, verse 2, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And then guess where God promises to send tongues as a sign of judgment? Let's go back now to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 21. Isaiah 28 verse 11 is quoted here. Isaiah chapter 28. But you're going to 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak to this people. This people is the Jews. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. We've looked at it in the Old Testament. Real quick review. God speaks. It's rejected. Tongues are sent as a sign of coming judgment, and then they're dispersed and scattered. We've seen that all through the Bible. Guess how come there are tongues in the New Testament? One, it was to confirm the word. Put that in your notes. God was confirming the word that he was penning through the apostles. This is legitimate that I'm giving you. Number two, Jerusalem, you're done. When they heard tongues, every Jew knew because of the past, judgment's coming. And when did judgment come to the Jews in the New Testament? 70 AD. Titus comes through as the general, levels the place, kills 1 million Jews, and sends 100,000 of them into captivity. That was 70 AD. When was 1 Corinthians penned? 59 AD. It's really the last record of tongues in the New Testament. That was about 10 years before Israel would be leveled. What does tongues mean in the Bible? Tonight we hit it from an angle. When somebody says nowadays, oh, you need to be speaking in tongues, you need to be filled. Yeah, you do need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll go soul winning. Amen? You'll have revival, but you won't speak in tongues. And here's one thing I hope you learn tonight. And watch this. It's not to be proud. It's to say, what you're doing in your church is not right. Tongues is a sign of judgment. It's not a sign that God's blessing you, like they want you to make you think. You need to quit doing that. Tongues is done. When God leveled Israel, tongues have not been spoken in since. From 70 AD, guess when the next time tongues is spoken is? Topeka, Kansas, in 1901 with the street meeting, and that's really where the modern-day Pentecostalism got its springboard, and that's where it's taken off from. No, tongues is not supposed to be spoken of. It's a sign of judgment. It's a sign of judgment. I hope the Bible study helps you, gave you the references so you didn't have to take a lot of notes. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, I pray that we could use this to be a help to people.